Welcome in, everybody, to the April episode of the Sportslandia show here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM in Vancouver, Washington. On this show, we focus on the local sports scene from high school to semi-pro to college, and gonna take a bit of a left turn this week, a bit of a passion project for me. We're going to talk some pro wrestling, and we're going to go all around the horn here, doing something a little bit different, a bit of a crossover show. So we have Patrick, who you may recognize from the Wizards of Wrestling show, also here on KXRW. Patrick has been on our show a couple times before when we've talked pro wrestling, and as it is WrestleMania week, this is kind of the big week in the pro wrestling scene. Even if you're not a WWE fan, it's just kind of every promotion puts on a lot of shows here this week before, during, and after WrestleMania. So we're going to get Patrick's take on everything from WWE till the hyper-local stuff.
Well, thanks for having me on. As you said, it is WrestleMania week, and I've actually been following a little bit of WWE's promotion of the biggest event of the year. Those, as I've talked about before on the show and on Wizards of Wrestling, like I've kind of become more of kind of a disgruntled wrestling fan as the last couple years because of how much the product has changed, and I feel like it's not catering to guys like you and me. We're not part of the demographic of
Right.
WWE anymore. The opening match of night one is Logan Paul and Isho Speed and Austin Theory against the Usos and LA Knight, which I'm a fan of the Usos and LA Knight, but Logan Paul and Isho Speed, that kind of opening up the show, that kind of tells everything right there who they're kind of catering to as far as their audience. There's been a big controversy. It's been kind of being subtle, but it's been coming kind of out in the woods. It's been going on longer. It's just how much ticket prices, not only for WrestleMania, but just in general, have gone up the last couple years. And they're really kind of, I don't think either night has sold out yet. And they're trying these weird marketing tactics. They tried 316 day to try to, WrestleMania, 316 day, 20% off tickets. And still, they're not really budging. And even kind of getting written in the storylines a little bit with CM Punk doing another pipe bomb, demanding that they lower ticket prices so more families could come see me set my foot on Roman Reigns' neck. And McAfee is getting involved with the arguably what should be the hottest feud going into WrestleMania, and that's Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton. And a lot of fans, myself including, think adding Pat McAfee in there are just kind of fumbling what could be a already well-written feud with 20 years of history. And they have the legacy behind them, literally the legacy, the group. And I got Pat McAfee in there doing weird stuff. And as I said, I've been following the card, but I feel like I've been saying this for a long time. And I don't know if it's just me getting older and just how I digest pro wrestling is different, but I feel like this is like the least like WrestleMania build to WrestleMania there's been in a while. It doesn't, what should be an exciting week for pro wrestling fans, it kind of just feels like another Tuesday. However, there are some I have been enjoying from what I've seen for the most part, the promos between CM Punk and Roman Reigns. I remember being a loyal fan of the product when Roman Reigns, when they were trying to do kind of the John Cena treatment and just kind of shove him down everyone's throat and make him the face, and it wasn't working. And then when he took that break and came back as a tribal chief, as a heel, and they just let him be heel. His promo work has improved. You do something long enough, you get better at it. I actually enjoy Roman Reigns promos, and so seeing him and Punk kind of go at it has been kind of an enjoyable part of the build. But not a whole lot of fighting between the two. There's been a couple spots where a couple power bombs through a table, and then CM Punk gave him the receipt. But mostly, it's just been them throwing jabs at each other. Roman calling Punk old, and that upset him. And Punk saying, "I'm gonna bury you next to your father." Oh, how could Punk say that? You know, and that's been I've been kind of enjoying that just because those guys are too good on the mic. But the latest one, I didn't end up watching last night's Raw, so I don't really know how the go home show went. But the week before, CM Punk came out and did kind of a pipe bomb again and said some things, but you know he's just going back, and Triple H is going, "Oh, good job, man." It's not a true pipe bomb. They're doing everything. You know, they know what he's saying, what they're
Right.
doing, and he's trying to make jabs at, you know, like you said, let's lower the ticket prices so more families can see this. And are they really going to do that? We'll see.
And if
Yeah, go
it,
ahead.
yeah, and if you're sitting at home wondering what the heck are we talking about? Because again, my, you know, our show is a little bit all over the place. You know, there's, I'm sure we have some diehard wrestling fans in the audience, but the big complaint, or not complaint, but I think a justifiable criticism from a lot of the wrestling fans, from the diehards and the IWC to more of the casual fans, which I would say I'm probably on like the higher end of a casual fan. I typically know what's going on. I don't watch much modern day pro wrestling just because I don't pay for TV. So I don't like, I mostly get what podcasters and YouTube videos dissect the product. But there's just been a lot of, really, since the TKO takeover and merger, that it's just become such a corporatized, which WWE already was, and you thought it was at maximum until TKO took over, and then it became, you know, the tables they're breaking up sponsorships on them, and you're basically, I haven't checked prices, but basically you're looking at least $1,000 just to get into one night of WrestleMania. Again, for our fans who haven't kept up on pro wrestling, WrestleMania is 2 nights now. Saturday and Sunday, this upcoming weekend, and there is still the spectacle and the fun and the entrances and like the it's nothing against the performers. I think everybody's still like, oh man, I would love to see CM Punk or Becky Lynch or Jacob Fatu or whoever. It's the corporate machine behind it, and the per, you know every you know it's like when you're mad at a football team, you're not really mad at the players, you're mad at the ownership and the GMs. So you want to go
That's a
there and
good.
cheer on these people that you really like to watch, but you're just like, man, if I'm, you know, Pat, like Patrick, if you were just to go to WrestleMania, you'd probably be 10 grand in flight, hotel, ticket. And so you're trying to get 80,000 people 2 nights, 160,000 people at those kind of prices. It's not feasible.
They're trying, and I imagine come Saturday night it'll be a good hot looking crowd. They pulled it off somehow, but from what I've seen, I'm like you. I'm not really a I don't watch the product. I like listening to more of the podcasters digest the product and just kind of pay attention to it. That's kind of my take on it. And part of that is, like I said, I feel like I've been kind of let down as a fan and kind of treated like you're not part of our demographic. I'm not one that has 10 grand to drop on wrestling, you know.
Right.
You know, and like you're saying, they've made it. I missed the era where 9.99 for the WWE Network or Peacock was that. That's how you were able to digest it. Now you got to have Netflix and Peacock to watch SmackDown, and you know, ESPN to watch the pay-per-views now. And so even just watching
VPN,
it at
Netflix
home is,
overseas. You didn't hear me say about turning on your VPN for Netflix and pretending you're not in America. Didn't say that.
no, but it's hard to even just be a casual fan now because of all these different platforms you got to watch it on. So,
Right.
you know, that's where the I've been watching the highlight videos on YouTube and listening to other podcasters. My favorite actually is one of the most controversial guys in the wrestling industry is Vince Russo. But I love his take on the current product because he was the guy that art wrote for the WWF when it was arguably at its most successful in 1998, 1999. So I feel like him being there at a time when, you know, it was successful, he's got a little bit of clout to say, "Hey, this is what they're doing wrong and what I would do if I were there." Granted, he's controversial because of when he went to WCW, how that all played out. Some people blame was his fault, but He's one of my favorite ones to listen to, just for that reason. I love he doesn't care, and he says, if I were there, this is how I'd do it, but I'm not there.
Right. And see, I'm on the opposite end. Cornette's my go-to for wrestling podcasts. And for those out there, if you know, we don't need to dissect their whole history, but couldn't get two more opposing views on wrestling than Russo and
Sure.
Cornette. And even they're both like, yeah, the modern product is struggling.
Yeah, I don't dislike Cornette either. I appreciate that he'll tell it like it is and has no fear of retaliation. I do like that about him. But yeah, Russo's just been kind of the one I've been going to. Stevie Richards also has a good
Yeah.
one.
Yep.
All kinds of them. I think that's funny. We're doing our pod advertising other pods. Listen to ours though. We're the true, we're
Right.
representing the casual fans that are, like you said, we want to enjoy the performers and enjoy the sh show, but it feels so corporatized and sterile that to me, I almost feel like every time I watch it, I just feel like they're making it obvious that this is not meant for me.
Right.
They're not trying to make it meant for these blue collar working class, fan base that historically pro wrestling, that's what the fan base has been. Has been blue collar working class folks.
Right.
And as you said, the last ever since the TKO merger, they've kind of taken the mask off and saying they're saying, no, we don't want you. We want these high earning crypto bros or whatever. And to me, it's just telling that, Logan Paul and I Show Speed are in the opening match. That kind of tells you right there.
Right. Right. Well, we're gonna try to think positively. So I at least want to get your
All right.
picks on each of the matches. So if you
All
can
right.
give us the winner, we may have to go through this kind of quick. So there are 13 matches, but we'll start there. Night one, the opening night, as you mentioned, the Vision of Logan Paul, Austin Theory, and I Show Speed with Paul Heyman versus the Usos and LA Knight.
Man, that's it's hard to get my kind of pick who to win on that. I think with that they should have the Usos and LA Knight win. Start the crowd, start to show off in a positive. They're the good guys, the baby face. Have that's my pick.
Okay. I hope you're
Usos and
right,
LA Knight.
but I hope you're right, but I do feel like they want the streaming stars, the TikTok crowd. They want Logan Paul and I Show Speed to shine, so all the that crowd gets really happy.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Maybe I was. All right, let's go to the next one.
All right, second match, which again, it should feel like a much bigger deal than it is. Jacob Fatu and Drew McIntyre.
McIntyre was supposed to be going into this WrestleMania as champion, and he lost it on a random SmackDown to Cody Rhodes. In that regard, I feel like Drew McIntyre should get the win to keep his momentum going as a upper mid card star. But I also know that Jacob Fatu is one of the young talents that they're trying to push. And they're both in their prime big guys. So that's really anyone's guess. I'm gonna go with McIntyre.
I'm going to split with you. I'm going Fatu.
Okay.
For the one of the women's championships, Stephanie Vaquer versus Liv Morgan.
Is so Stephanie Vaquer is going in as a champion, correct?
Correct.
Okay. I think we'll see a title change. I think that goes to Liv Morgan. Although arguably my pick for that would be Stephanie Vaquer. I think she's kind of from what I've seen, that's been one of the feuds I've been following as well. I've been enjoying her work, but I think they're gonna strap the rocket on Liv Morgan.
For a championship that I totally forgot they had, there's a women's Intercontinental Championship now. The champion AJ Lee defends against Becky Lynch.
What's hard about that one is they just had a match at Elimination Chamber, the exact same match. So do you know off the top of your head who won that one? It must have been AJ Lee.
I don't. I only remember the mixed tag with
Yeah.
their husbands.
Yeah. All right. Just as a fan, All right, top of my head, I'll go with Becky Lynch.
A four-way tag for the women's tag titles. You have Nia Jax and Lash Legend versus Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss versus Bayley and Lyra Valkyria versus the Bella Twins, which I believe this is like the first big return match for the Bellas, if I'm right, as a unit.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they'll put the belts on the Bella Twins. And I believe it's Alexa and Charlotte who have the belts right now.
I think it's Nia and Lash. I think they like just got them.
Oh
Which
wow.
shows you
If
how
they
much
just
people are
got
into the belt, yeah, the tag belts.
it right. All right, I'll go with Nia and Lash. They're retaining.
The sixth match, which I would argue should be probably the match of the night, Seth Rollins and Gunther, a match that's just kind of these are the guys who were left that needed a match and weren't injured. But just given the talents involved, this would probably be my pick for the match of the night. And I would pick Gunther.
I would also go with Gunther. The how they've been going with him ending the careers of all these legends, and the rumor that he's going to be the one to retire Brock Lesnar. I think that they got to keep that momentum going.
And
Seth Rollins could put up a good fight, but I think the win's got to go to Gunther.
right. And then your main event of night one, as you mentioned, Cody Rhodes defends one of the championships against Randy Orton with Pat McAfee in his corner, shoehorned in, much to the chagrin of most fans. We all want Cody Roman or Cody and Randy straight up, but things
Sure.
happen.
Yeah. Well, regardless of how the story's gone and how botched that's gone, I think ultimately I would love to see Randy leaving with the champion one more time. I think he deserves it. His work has arguably been better than Cody Rhodes during this feud, despite what's been thrown in his way. And I think it's been a long time since Orton's held that belt. I think he deserves to hold it again. And that's my prediction, is that Orton is leaving. I think he'll be a 14-time world champion.
I'm with you. I think the whole build here is for Randy. I could also, well, not with McAfee. I would say double turn, but I think we see a heel Cody after this. But yes, Randy as the champion. And night two starts off, assuming this is in order, starts out with the powerhouse match that a lot of people have called the best build, maybe one of the two best, Obafemi and Brock Lesnar, and just two monsters.
Yeah. I think Lesnar should get the win. However, it's not going to be an easy victory for Lesnar. It's not going to be a squash. It's not going to be Obafemi is going to get a lot of kudos in that match. Well deserved. However, I don't think he's quite ready at the place to win over someone like Brock Lesnar yet at WrestleMania. But showing a strong performance and almost winning, but the beast ultimately comes out and destroys it. I think that's the way we're going to go, especially if with later this year, if the rumors are true that Gunther is going to retire him, let Lesnar go out until that retirement match on a winning streak.
I'm with you. I would pick Lesnar. Now, people like Cornette who know booking have explained to me why it makes sense to have Obafemi win the first one and then Brock gets him later. But I'm with you. I think a longer than usual Lesnar match, hard fought, but Lesnar, the veteran instinct. Your Chaos ladder match for the Intercontinental Champion Penta versus Javon Evans versus Dragon Lee versus JD McDonagh versus Rey Mysterio versus Rusev to be a big guy to catch everyone.
And Penta's going in as champion, right?
Yes. So you have five
Yeah.
small flippy guys and Rusev.
Okay. Rusev. Well, I actually went to WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans, and that was during the height of the Rusev day.
Was that the
That was
tank one?
so over. It wasn't the tank. It was I think Rusev just wrestled a U.S. Championship match, Fatal Four Way, I think.
Okay.
But just the festivities, of what makes WrestleMania, what we talked about, kind of the beginning of the show. It's a week long festivity thing, and I swear, everywhere I went to, everybody was chanting Rusev Day. It
Nice.
was at the height of Rusev Day, and it was so over. And It's not going to happen, but I pick Rusev just for that
I do feel like it's the Javon Evans. I don't know. I feel like it's early for him. I could very easily see Penta retaining, but it does feel a little bit like the Javon Evans anointing match.
Yeah, my realistic pick was actually Javon Evans, but
Right.
my fan, my inner fan that still is in there is going for Rusev.
And the other women's championship, current champion Jade Cargill versus Rhea Ripley.
Current champion Jade Cargill.
Yes.
Okay. See, this shows I haven't been following that feud that much. I was thinking that it was Rhea Ripley was a champion and Jade Cargill could get the win. I think that could go either way. And I sound like such a casual fan on this one. I haven't been following that one. There's not a lot of stakes in that for me. Rhea Ripley.
I like it. The United States Championship champion Sami Zayn versus Trick Williams.
Feel like this was another one that was just kind of thrown together weird. Sami Zayn at the beginning of the year was in the spot for the World Championship, going against Drew McIntyre at the Royal Rumble. And I actually saw his promo, kind of some work he cut with Cody Rhodes, where he was saying, "Why is it fair that you're just coming in? You know, you lost the Elimination Chamber, but yet you get a title match." And that was the same night Cody Rhodes won it. However, like I think, you know, WrestleMania is the time for new stars and open up new opportunities. So with that, I think Trick Williams deserves a win and to have to carry his first championship. Sami Zayn has always been one of my favorites, so either of those guys I'd be happy with. From a corn, if I were Cornette, which I'm not admitting I am, but thinking about it from a booking standpoint, if Trick Williams would be my pick.
I'm with you. I think Sammy is to the high quality veteran guy who can, bring a young guy along and put over the next generation. I feel like Sammy's at that stage. And
Yep, that's
then
my thoughts as well.
imagine a feud that I totally forgot about. Finn Balor, who is supposedly bringing back the demon character, versus Dominic Mysterio for their sad breakup of kicking Finn out of the Judgment Day.
Yeah, I think that's got to go to Finn. That's got to be a feel-good match for the demons coming back. You know, a lot of people don't remember that Finn Balor is a former Universal Championship, and I feel like he got screwed over on. He won it the inaugural night of that championship and had to relinquish it for an injury and never got it back. He's had some good matches, you know, with opponents like Roman Reigns too, you know, but never got it back. And Finn deserves, you know, recognition and the star power. He's a star. Bringing back the demon, it's got to be a feel-good moment. Finn Balor wins.
Yeah, I would love to see Finn get one last run here. And I know they've had him in championship matches recently, but maybe another short run with the title. And Dominic can eat the loss here, and he's not really going to lose very much. He's still on the
Sure.
upswing, and it's not going to hurt him to take a pinfall. I'm with you. Let's give Finn Balor the feel-good story.
Yep.
And your main event, and I would argue the main event of the whole thing. I still think there's only one WrestleMania main event, even though it is two nights.
Agree.
CM Punk versus Roman Reigns, which I think you could argue is a year in the making if we go back to last year's when Punk stole Paul Heyman for the night and they both ended up getting turned on when he joined with Rollins. But CM Punk versus Roman Reigns for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that this was the one I've been following this one the most. It started out the one I was kind of when it was first announced, that's how it was going to go. I was kind of thinking, really, one half of a main event that, or two thirds of a main event they already did last year. But I do for the most part think that the promo work between the two during the weeks and the build has been kind of this. One of the stronger builds to WrestleMania, and it's hard. It could go both ways. You know, CM Punk's been bitter with a chip on his shoulder the last 10 years. How he never got to main event WrestleMania, and I agree with you that the last night of the two-night show should be the main event. And so we could say that he did last year, but now he definitely is then that main event spot. So some could argue he deserves to take the win for that and go forward. I think it would be cool if Roman Reigns won it though, because it's a title that Roman Reigns actually hasn't won yet, and just Roman Reigns is arguably the biggest star they've got on the roster right now, and that's just another notch on his belt to prove that. I'm actually more of a fan of Roman Reigns than I am CM Punk, and so in that regard, I'd rather see Roman Reigns win. But and that could be anyone's. That's one of those matches that makes wrestling exciting. Is my personal pick is Roman Reigns. It could go either way.
I'll take Punk to retain this one. I think I have a lot of the other belts flipping hands, so somebody's got to retain on this night. I just think it's a better story. I think Punk will be around a week in, week out with Reigns. You always have to wonder how often will he be there. The other thing I'm curious, is it going to be just straight up one-on-one, or are we just going to get overbooked nonsense? A Heyman run in, a Rollins run in, a Lesnar run in, The Rock shows up, Solo runs in, the Usos run in. Have a steel run in while you're throwing bodies out there. I just wonder, are we going to get a legit one-on-one, or is it going to be like when Cody finally beat Roman and every 90s nostalgia star came out for a pop?
I don't see that happening. That hasn't been really built too much to have too many opportunities for that. Part of the reason why that worked that year is because it was booked as, what was it, the Bloodline Rules match. So it was already kind of built in that, and expected that we're going to see run-ins. This one has been booked as just kind of a solid one-on-one match. So I don't see too many run-ins happening quite to the, if any, not certainly not to the caliber as that match was when Cody won. I would actually like to see it just be a solid one, just because the way they've been built it's been so personal. Just do a technical rough match. I almost wish they would kind of add kind of a no DQ disqual stipulation to it, just to make it a little more gritty. But then that's the slippery slope of adding the kind of over the top run-ins, which I don't think is necessary for this feud. So we'll see.
All right. Any other WrestleMania WWE thoughts before we take a quick break and then come back? We have AEW to talk about, TNA, and the local scenes, and we may circle back to WrestleMania for a trivia portion, but for the actual WrestleMania 42 focus.
I've been a lifelong wrestling fan, and it's still, it's WrestleMania week, and I'll be looking forward to paying attention to what happens, and I imagine there's going to be surprises, like, there'll be some cameos. It is always a good show. You can't deny that WWE production does not know how to put on a good show. In WrestleMania each year, they always kind of go above and beyond the year before that, and so in that regard, I am looking forward to seeing how what the stage looks like and how the feel is, and go from there.
Well, that's it on WrestleMania. We're going to take a quick break and come back, and we have great local wrestling news. A lot of ways that you can get out and see some of our local shows. We'll be back on the other side here on Sportslandia on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com. KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims in Washington State seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Their diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. That's BUCKLEYLAW.net. At Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
Welcome back to the April edition of the Sportslandia show here on KXRW.FM and KXRW 99.9 FM. A special feature episode doing a crossover here with our friends over at Wizards of Wrestling, another KXRW program. Patrick, one of the hosts of that show, is lending his wrestling know-how to us. You heard us talk about WrestleMania in the first half. We're going to look at more of the local scene here. And we are fortunate enough, and this was by no means masterminded by me. It was just a very fortuitous scheduling. Patrick, do you know what's coming to town next week?
Roundtable Pro Wrestling.
We're going to get to them in a minute. We have AEW coming to town next week.
Oh, that's right.
Dynamite and Collision.
That is right.
Filming together Veterans Memorial Coliseum here on Wednesday, April 22nd. AEW, really the favorite alternative for non-WWE fans if you like a little bit different style pro wrestling. And these tickets are only $40. Now, granted, you can spend a little bit more to get right by ringside, but if you are looking for something to do next Wednesday night, get down to the Veterans Coliseum in Portland, and you know, only $40-$50 for a ticket, and you can watch pro wrestling right here in your own backyard.
Yes, AEW, for a while, they were arguably hotter than WWE for a while. They had a moment when they were the new kids on the block and they were doing better. They had a stacked roster, still do, but I think when CM Punk jumped there, you could argue that they were drawing a little better numbers than WWE at the moment. However, and I say this, you know, WWE's at a point, it's been around so long, it's done what it's done so long. It's WWE is always going to be what is known as when you think of pro wrestling.
Right.
And AEW doesn't really need to necessarily try to outdo that. I think they're doing better, you know, being smart, realizing that, you know, we are the alternative. I think it's smart that they keep ticket prices where they're at. You know, to be that, hey, you can't afford WWE, come to our show. I've been to a couple of AEW shows, and what I can say, if you are a fan of pro wrestling matches, it is definitely worth their money. They stack the card. You get a lot of matches for your night, and they're doing, you know, a Dynamite and Collision, so double match card. If you like wrestling, you'll definitely see your share of wrestling matches that night. And anybody who has a chance to go see AEW, I highly recommend that.
As you mentioned, as a double bill, you're probably going to get everybody. MJF's their current world champion. John Moxley is the Continental title. FTR is the tag champion. So all these guys are going to be there. And we kind of skipped past it. Do we have any Pacific Northwest connections on the WWE roster right now? I mean, there's so many people between WWE and NXT. I'm sure there's someone. We've been fortunate enough to have some of the AEW guys on the show here between our show and your show. So I'm trying to think, who do we all have? Darby Allin's the famous one now that Bryan Danielson is kind of semi-retired. But who else do we have? Brian Cage, Darby Allin, or Pacific Northwest guys? I'm sure I'm blanking on some that you know.
Swerve Strickland.
Oh, yeah. Swerve is a big Seattle guy.
Swerve Strickland.
Is Brody King or did I know? No, Brody King's a California guy. Oh, young guy. Christian Cage. Nick Wayne. There we go.
Nick Wayne. We've had him on our show as well.
Yeah, so a great Pacific. Yeah. I feel like they run between Seattle and Portland. I feel like AEW runs a couple times a year up here. So it's always felt like a good fertile ground for pro wrestling audiences.
Yeah.
Both cities.
Yeah. Yeah. And AEW, I think when you're asking off the top of my head, I think there is someone in NXT right now that has ties to Oregon without having the ability to research it right now. I don't want to say for sure off the top of my head in case I'm wrong. Yeah. But also off the top of my head, I can't really think of anybody main roster or otherwise that really is, you know, tied to the Pacific Northwest and WWE. But AEW, you know, I feel like has more of a connection to
Doink the Clown.
Northwest.
Doink the Clown was from the Pacific Northwest.
The original Doink the Clown, yes, Matt Bourne.
But bell time is at 4:30 on Wednesday, April 22nd. So skip out work a little bit early, but that'll be a long show, so you have plenty of opportunities to get down there. And yeah, don't really have much of a match card yet, but I have to imagine those PNW wrestlers will be well represented. Or just go boo
Yeah.
MJF.
I have a coworker who went to SmackDown was actually in town a couple months ago, and my coworker, it was his first time going to a live WWE event, and he said he had so much fun with his friends that they decided that they were going to buy tickets for AEW when they came in. And to me, like, that just shows like why it's so important for there to be alternative pro wrestling. You know, it's good for the whole ecosystem of the sport. It's, you know, WWE's top dog, but they enjoyed it so much that they're going to come into the next one that comes in town. That's a, you know, different company, but same type of entertainment. You know,
And
so the whole AEW being successful isn't going to take away any of WWE's steam. That's kind of the point I always try to make. Like, and so it kind of frustrated me last year when WWE was going so hard with all the counter programming, and when AEW had their big WrestleMania like show All In, WWE made sure that they had had a show next to them. And I'm just thinking, is that necessary to do that? Is AEW doing well going to take any thunder away from you? I personally don't think so, but you know, I'm not sitting on a board of a big corporate company either, so I'm not the type of person to make those decisions.
Well, and the old adage in business and marketing is Coke never talked about Pepsi. Pepsi would talk about Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola never talked about Pepsi because number
There
one
you go.
does not need to be worried about number two. So, and like you mentioned, they're different audiences. Yes, they're in that Venn diagram. There is a crossover between WWE and AEW fans. Like back in the day, there were WCW fans and WWE fans, but there's some people who just want their different thing, and you do not need to kill the other one just because you are obsessed with being a monopoly. Like, there's people who are going to support pro wrestling outside of WWE. No matter what you
Right.
do, people will find it. And
And
as we're
it's
about to discuss, there's plenty of alternatives, even if it is local.
local. Just this last year, I've been honored to be a part of, you know, I thought that's what you were leading to, but with the Roundtable Pro Wrestling, their next show is this Sunday, the 19th. So what's exciting to me about that is, you know, WrestleMania really is a global kind of wrestling convention. And one of the things that's fun about going to WrestleMania week, if you can afford it, I got to experience this a little bit when I went in to WrestleMania 34, which I just want to say, like, it was a lot cheaper. That event was a lot cheaper than the last couple of years they've been, so I was able to do something like that. But it's not just the WWE events all week. There's these independent promotions that do, you know, their biggest shows of the year, and the host city, it's a big economic boon to them to have all this tourism. And I talked about this on the other shows I've been, Wizard of Wrestling. I'm really worried about WWE heading to Riyadh next year. What that's going to mean for the independents that rely on WrestleMania weekend to sell their tickets and do their shows in the host city. They don't have the budget to go to Saudi Arabia. And I actually have fleshed this out a little bit. I think this is a golden opportunity. If Tony Khan does not do this, he's not as smart as people give him credit for. This is a golden opportunity for Tony Khan to do their version of counter programming. Hey, you can't afford to go to WrestleMania. We're doing it here, and we're offering an affordable alternative. That's an opportunity for the independents to latch on and continue that. I think it would be great. I don't know logistically how that would work out, but WrestleMania was supposed to be in New Orleans this year. So if AEW could do a counter WrestleMania during Riyadh WrestleMania in New Orleans, that golden opportunity to see where that would go.
No, I think that's a great idea. If you built it around an AEW, okay, AEW is going to be the big show, but Defy and Prestige and GCW and all these other smaller promotions, MLW, whoever else, are they all going to run shows all week? Because Because as we've talked about, if you're not a pro wrestling fan to the, you know, like we are on the show and some of the other diehards, WrestleMania, all these other, it's basically a convention week. All these smaller promotions from around the country gather in the city wherever pro wrestling is. They're not running the football stadium. They may run the armory or the smaller convention center. You know, not everybody needs to run Moda Center, but the little buildings around there. So you basically have 7 straight days of wrestling. You can cherry pick which shows you want to go to, what meet and greets you want to go to. And it's just a great kind of gathering of the wrestling community has been built around WrestleMania, even though these people have nothing to do with WWE.
Absolutely.
And next year, that will not be an option.
Yes. Yeah, that won't be an option in Riyadh, but it's like I said, that's AEW's golden opportunity to take advantage of that void. And we'll see.
Well, let's talk through. I do have a series because there's way more local pro wrestling than most people and myself included probably realize. So I have a bunch of the local promotions in the Pacific Northwest, including their upcoming shows pulled up here. But we'll start with Roundtable, the group that you are best affiliated with. So anything you want to say on their upcoming shows? You mentioned Sunday, April 19th, doors open at 5:30, bell time at 6 at American Legion Hall, post 176 in on 20th Avenue there in Vancouver.
I just want to add that they are growing. I was honored to be a part of their inaugural show, and from what I found out, tickets are I don't know if it's completely sold out, but they sold a number they weren't expecting to sell as quickly as it was. They've got a lot of tickets already bought up. So it's if you have your chance to check out Roundtable Pro Wrestling, I highly encourage you to do it. They're only growing with each show, and that momentum is just going to keep going.
Now, you may be too intertwined in the promotion to make a pick on this, but do you have a pick in Brian Brooks versus Big Vicious for the championship match?
Oh, I think Brian Brooks, he's been carrying it since he won that, and I don't see the momentum slowing down for him anytime soon.
And again, just looking at some of what we have here, Defy Wrestling, I don't see any upcoming events for Defy, but I think they are one of the bigger ones. They run up and down the West Coast and all the major cities. As far as indie wrestling goes across the US, I think Defy has one of the bigger footprints. Run a lot of Portland, Seattle, down to Vegas and LA. A little bit they go throughout the country. But they might be the biggest game in town, I guess, at this level. I could be right. You know this better than I do.
They just had a cross promotion show with Dragon Gate Wrestling at the Hawthorne Theater a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Couldn't tell you the exact date, but yeah, that was a huge show. I wasn't able to go to it, but it just again represents what you were saying. That is arguably one of the largest independent wrestling promotions in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. So as Patrick mentioned, ran April 10th just here in Portland, and that was their first show of the year. Looks like pretty much monthly from here on out. So keep your eyes peeled. Defy Wrestling is the name there. So probably a show coming up in May. We just don't have posted here yet. And now we're descending down the iceberg. And I don't mean disrespect to these promotions, just me as more of a casual fan. I don't know some of these quite as well, or maybe aren't as big, but POW is one of the ones that I was kind of familiar with there in Portland. They have a double bill coming up a Friday and a Saturday. You typically have to go a little further south for these. The 24th is in Albany, the 25th is in Eugene. I think Salem Kaiser's about as far north as they get. But you do have POW coming up with a few. Is that the Ricky Gibson that I'm seeing on this card here? But I feel like POW runs quite a few shows throughout the year.
Yeah, I think they do two shows a month every month. Yeah, they're home based out of Eugene. So I actually haven't been able to make it to the PAL show, but a lot of the guys that wrestle for POW wrestle up here for it's called DOA and prestigious that they kind of share talent. So I've seen a lot of the guys, but haven't had the honor to see yet.
Speak of the devil, next on my tabs was the DOA show. And like you mentioned, a lot of those people you may see again here on May 9th and 10th, Saturday, May 9th, bell time 7 p.m. at the Jackson Armory in Portland. DOA, we can be heroes. What do we have tickets here? $40 VIP, $20 just to get in. And then on the 10th, so again, a back-to-back bill, a Saturday, Sunday, May 10th, deal with the devil. This one's at the Independence Elks Lodge in Independence. Same thing, $40 for front row, $20 just to get in. a good pick there, depending on where you are in Oregon between
Yeah.
Independence and Portland.
And what's fun about these indie shows like this is, whether you want to spend $40 for front row or just get in, no seat is a bad seat in these shows. And everywhere is, you're up close and part of the show, and the audience is just as much of the show at an independent show as the wrestling is. There's nothing without the audience. We saw a little bit of that in 2020 with the pandemic and how kind of weird that was. They kept doing wrestling, but it was just not the same without the crowd there. And in independent wrestling, I think the crowds at independent wrestling are more fun than even at, the bigger WWE shows, just because it's more intimate and everybody there is a part of what's going on.
And
And the
yeah.
wrestlers, they're gonna hear your boo, they're gonna hear your cheer, they're everybody's input is gonna be put in. And yeah, just a lot of fun.
I will agree with that. I have never, I've, I, we see it through a different lens because we know pro wrestling so well, but I've never taken somebody who's like, oh, pro wrestling, that's that fake garbage. I don't want to watch that, blah, blah, blah. Whatever their complaints are, I've never taken somebody to an independent wrestling show who hasn't had fun. It's
Sure.
entertainment. It's a bit of a circus. Wrestling started in the circus back in the day. That's how pro wrestling came into being. And it has a lot of that variety show, the circus. If you want something a little bit more bloody, you want some comedy, you want some serious athleticism, you want some impressive high flying. A lot of these local shows have a lot of that. It's not, sure, it's not going to have the glossy production values of a WWE, but I've never been with somebody who's like, you know what? I was really bored. I hated that.
I agree. And the
And
independents, to me, they represent, like what I said, has historically, wrestling has always been a blue collar working class form of entertainment. And I think the independents, represent that better than the major ones do right now.
And these last three are more Washington focused, and we are fully submerged down the iceberg. I have never heard of any of these three. Again, no disrespect to their promotions. I'm just not as in depth as Patrick is on these. 5CC Wrestling out of Bellingham. It seems to be where most of their shows are. No shows advertised right now, at least on Cage Match. I should reference that. CageMatch.net is where I'm getting all my shows and cards.
Yeah,
But their last show
that's
is
a
at the
great
end of
resource.
February.
Yeah, I've heard of 5CC, and for some reason I thought they did a closing up show that they went out, and so it's nice to see that they're still doing shows. I don't know whether they're special occasion or they're
Cage Match
continuing
list,
regularly.
yeah, they're listed as active on Cage Match, but yeah, they were a lot bigger in 21, 22, and they've kind of trickled down since then, but there does seem to be
Yeah.
some kind of a pulse.
What's unique about them is they have a five-sided ring. That's the
Oh, interesting.
five. That's where the five CC comes in. Yeah, we've actually had on Wizards of Wrestling. We had a guest who said he wrestled in the five-sided ring and said it was really kind of weird to kind of learn how to navigate that.
Right.
But that's their big catch is that they've got a five-sided ring, which I've never seen before. I've seen a six-sided one
Right. The
with
TNA
TNA.
six-sided we've all got used to.
But yeah.
And I have two left here. This one I'm becoming a fan of just based on their social media presence, and it looks like it may be a little bit more tongue in cheek if you're fine with a little bit of campy comedy in your wrestling. SOS Pro Wrestling out of Tacoma. Their next show coming up on Friday, May 8th at 7:30. It looks like it's going to be some type of a show. Jody Threat is coming in from TNA.
Yeah.
She's going to be the biggest name, but SOS is another one I've never heard of.
Oh wow. Yeah, my understanding is they're a little bit they kind of have more of a theme to their shows, or kind of a like pirate tiki theme. But I think at the end of the day they're still just straight up, local and local and just you said Jody Threat's coming in. Just athletes coming in doing their craft and putting on a good show for the audience. I think, they just kind of have their setup kind of look more pirate theme, but I think the action is still just it's just Smash Mouth Pro Wrestling.
Do you have five
Yeah,
minutes to play some trivia?
I do.
So, I have in front of me all of the WrestleMania main events.
Okay.
I'm curious how many of them you can name. I'll be more impressed if we do this in order and we start at number one, I can give you the year, the location, if you give me the
Okay.
wrestlers. All right, the
Yeah.
inaugural WrestleMania 1 from 1985.
That was Hulk Hogan and Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff versus Rowdy Roddy Piper and Mr. T.
Can I give you a half point for getting the right people?
Yes.
Hogan and Mr. T were a team versus Piper and Orndorff.
Wow, here I am going like, oh, this.
WrestleMania 2.
WrestleMania 2.
Kind of a forgotten one because WrestleMania 2 is terrible.
It's terrible, and it took place in three cities.
Just the last match broadcast, which there's one name you could name on the first like 10 of these, and you're half right every time. You just got to figure out the other person involved.
Yeah, I want to say it's Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy in a cage match.
You are correct. Bonus points for having the cage match in there. All Hogan right. and Bundy. WrestleMania 3.
There, that makes up for my botch of the first question. All right, WrestleMania 3. That, arguably, one of the biggest WrestleMania main events of all time. The match that put WWF on the map. That was Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant.
Now, WrestleMania 4, I'll make this easier. This is the one non-Hogan match.
Oh, one non-Hogan match. That almost makes it harder.
Right?
I think WrestleMania 4, was that the one that had a tournament?
It is.
The main? So I'll take that as my win. Off the top of my head, I could not tell you who that main event was, but that I knew that it was the tournament. That's my win for that card. Right.
Very, very of the era names, Macho Man versus DiBiase for the championship. We're up to
yeah,
five.
I wouldn't have been able to get that off the top of my head. Hogan, one of them.
Okay.
Sergeant Slaughter.
Your 2 year old, that's WrestleMania 7, so we can skip that one later. That's Hogan Savage or Hogan Slaughter. There, I just gave it to
right.
you. This is the
for
Mega
seven.
Powers. This is Hogan Savage.
Okay.
So, and you mentioned Slaughter, so that's 5 and 7. So what's in between at 6?
Where was WrestleMania 6 held?
This is Toronto, SkyDome.
That is the one that was Hogan and Ultimate Warrior.
That is correct. That's Hogan Warrior.
Yep.
All right, and we skip ahead to WrestleMania 8 in 1992 in Indiana.
I want to say Sid Vicious was involved in the main event.
You are correct, Hogan Sid.
It was Hogan Sid?
Mm-hmm. Now, WrestleMania 9's tricky because there's kind of two, depending on how you want to think of it.
Caesar's Palace, Las Vegas. Bret Hart versus Yokozuna.
Yes.
Was the main event, and then Hulk Hogan came out and... I think it was Hogan versus Yokozuna. He did the leg drop on Yokozuna and
right.
left with the championship.
Yeah. So whether or not you say Bret Yoko or Yoko Hogan for the... And then number 10 here, I will give you a hint. We are done with Hogan.
Yeah, at the top of my head, I can't do it.
Bret Hart and Yokozuna.
Okay, the rematch.
Number 11 features a non-wrestler, if that helps.
Refrigerator, William Perry against Bam Bam Bigelow.
You're close. Bam Bam versus Lawrence Taylor, another football player. I think Perry was, he was in like a WrestleMania Battle Royal, but this was Bam Bam and Lawrence
okay.
Taylor.
Okay.
All right. WrestleMania 12 in 1996.
That was Diesel versus Shawn Michaels.
Shawn and Brett. That's the Iron Man
Shawn and
match.
Brett. Oh, I'm jumping ahead one then. Okay.
WrestleMania 13. I'm gonna tell you. So Kevin Nash never main evented a WrestleMania.
Really?
He was in like the SummerSlams and the Royal Rumbles and everything else, but he was never a WrestleMania main eventer.
Huh. I thought it was 13 or 14 that he did, but
13's kind of a weird left field
right
one.
Now.
I think Shawn and Diesel may have wrestled at number 13, but the main event's kind of weird.
Is the main event, is that Austin and Bret Hart?
That was the one good match on the show, but it was
okay.
not the main event.
Wait, no, it's coming to me. Is it Undertaker and Psycho Sid?
It is Undertaker and Sid. We are into the Attitude Era. WrestleMania 14, 1998.
That was Steve Austin versus Shawn Michaels.
You are correct. 15.
And that was The Rock versus Austin.
Correct. 16, aka WrestleMania 2000.
16. The Fatal 4-Way, Mick Foley, Triple H, The Rock, and Big Show with a McMahon in every corner.
There you go. WrestleMania
the
X7
mask.
or 17.
That is my favorite WrestleMania of all time, and that was Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Rock.
Now, WrestleMania 18 could be, I this is could be tricky.
Yeah, the main event was Jericho versus Triple H for the Undisputed title.
Yep.
The best match of the card and what everyone thinks should have been the main event was The Rock versus Hogan.
All right, WrestleMania
in
19,
Toronto,
2003.
That was Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle.
Correct.
WWE Championship.
WrestleMania 20, 2004.
The Voldemort of pro wrestling versus Triple H versus Shawn Michaels, the Voldemort being Chris Benoit.
2005.
He who shall not be named. That was Batista versus Triple H.
Correct. 2006.
That was Triple H versus John Cena.
2007.
That was Cena versus Shawn Michaels.
2008, WrestleMania 24.
Undertaker and Edge.
There we go. 25.
Triple H
2009.
Orton.
There you go. 2010.
It's Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels in the rematch.
WrestleMania 27, 2011.
That was The Miz versus John Cena.
There we go. Do you just want to do 12 and 13, 2012, 2013, two for one?
Yeah, that was the twice in the lifetime matches, The Rock versus John Cena.
WrestleMania 30, 2014.
That was Daniel Bryan versus Batista versus Randy Orton.
Now, WrestleMania 2015, there is the asterisk in here if you want to try to go for bonus points.
On paper, main event was Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, and that was when Seth Rollins cashed in
The heist
and
of the
turned into a
century.
triple threat. Yeah.
Oh, WrestleMania 32 is sad. 2016.
32, that was Triple H and Roman Reigns.
There we go. 33.
33 was, I believe that main event, that was Reigns and Undertaker,
There you go.
was the main event, that one.
34.
34, that was the one I was fortunate to be at. Lesnar versus Roman Reigns.
There we go. 35 in 2019.
That was the first women's main event. And it was Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Ronda
There we go. Now, 36 is the beginning of the two nights. So, in the interest of time, I will let you choose either of the two night main events. And the
Okay.
is 36 is COVID mania as well.
Yes, and 30, like you said, that's when it went both nights. And I've always thought the main event of both nights is the main event of show. So, for the interest of time, I'll do guess that one. And so, for 36, that was Drew McIntyre and Lesnar.
There we go. 37 in 2021.
That was Edge, Daniel Bryan, and Roman Reigns.
God, I've totally blocked that one out of my brain. 2022.
Lesnar and Roman Reigns, 5,000.
We're finally done after that. 2023.
2023, that was Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns.
There you go. 24.
Cody did not take it. That was Cody and Roman Reigns, where Cody did take it.
And last year, 2025.
Was infamous heel John Cena against Cody Rhodes.
Well, we thank you all for joining us. We will see you on our May episode of Sportslandia. Go check out Wizards of Wrestling and everything Patrick and his crew are up to. We thank you all for joining us. We will see you next time. Keep your stick on the ice.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
La programación de KXRW es posible gracias a socios como Buckley & Associates, abogados que ayudan a víctimas lesionados a obtener la justicia que merecen por más de 40 años. Con licencia en el estado de Washington, su equipo diverso habla más de 7 idiomas, haciendo que tus derechos sean más accesibles y fáciles de entender. Conoce más en BuckleyLaw.net. Repito, BuckleyLaw.net. Buckley & Associates. Hablan tu idioma.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
Chúng tôi nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.